Welcome to Aura Talks.
Well, Haji, that's what I've been saying the whole time. So the entire idea of the Aura project and this digital platform that we're creating is really tapping into this heart space of let's give more than we take. Because if every single member of the community adopted that attitude and took on that stance, the community has to be prosperous.
This is why realignment with the idea and efforts in that direction, we have to learn to do our own work. We should not become managers. That 5 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year is part of our contribution to our family.
Yes.
You look at the dining room in the ashram. Meals, breakfast, lunch, dinner, after tiffin is all available to them. Done by them themselves. If we can serve one meal even today in Auroville, we think that we have done a great job. No. You see this concept of what I call middle class thinking, which has come into play, the bourgeois kind of a thinking, that we being educated, we having this aspiration, therefore we are the thinkers and doers at a certain level, but the lower level tasks have to be performed by others because that is the Indian concept, because it's cheap labor, is out of place in our world. And because, I'll give you just one example, in Sonship, with the maids and all that paid, being paid and all that, a meal used to cost 50 rupees. Since COVID-19, nobody's coming, they're not getting paid, the meal cost has come around 35 rupees.
Wow.
It's obvious.
That's a perfect example for us that we need to take on the work for ourselves.
Exactly.
I mean, I'd like to also comment on the bourgeoisie life that you've just shared. So when you look at archival photos and footages from the pioneering days in the 70s and the 80s, I can see that from what people ate to how people dressed to the houses that people lived in, it was a basic way of living, basic being the very key word here. And the Auroville that we're seeing today has become very prosperous, not only in terms of nature, but also architecturally, and the infrastructure has advanced quite a bit, which I think is a good thing. But at the same time, it has somehow primed a lot of people to take on this bourgeoisie life, which is very, very far from the basic way of living. So I wanted to ask you, Pashi, what were some fundamental economic developments and stages that Auroville went through that we came to this point where we got so far away from, so to speak, the prosperity screen as seen in the ashram? And one thing that I remember last year when we were talking, you mentioned also that at the introduction of financial service accounts, because before, as you mentioned, there was a prosperity scheme where you just wrote down very humbly and honestly what you needed, and that was provided to you. But at one point, that took a huge shift because everyone had these individual accounts with, so to speak, their own money. And that was, so to speak, a wrong turn. So were there any other pivotal moments in Auroville's economic development?
You see, after we broke away from the society, there was this basket, which was basically on the same principle, but it was not called prosperity, it was called a basket. Mm-hmm. So your provisions and things like that, but also there was community kitchen because the population was small. You see, since initial stages, most of the work was on the ground, hard ground, where we had to break the ground, make it fertile, things like that. So you could not wear clothes properly as you would. I mean, in fact, because of the climatic condition, you had to be bare-bodied to do that kind of thing. So, and in any case, even if you had a clothing, it was a simple clothing. Because generally, when you are in a family, what happens is, as they say, you cut the cloth according to your means. So whatever your means, you have to provide for everyone according to that. Now, what we are doing today is we're living beyond our means. And also there was a play of the habits that we have brought with us, whether they're eating habits.
Yes.
Whether there are other notions of a lifestyle, which we are reluctant to give up. Food is one of the major issues and major problems. Because different cultures, different backgrounds, your bodies have got used to different kind of food. And to adopt to a simple food and remain healthy, you have a gradual acceptance of it. But many of the people don't even accept it. And when you don't accept it, therefore that food has to be provided for you, which also is expensive because it's not locally grown.
Exactly.
So if you look at PTDC today, what do you find? Imported food for dogs and cats as well? No, let's be honest.
Yes.
We have decided on a lifestyle which is not in tune with our aspiration. We want to live our life like we have lived in the past. At the same time, we want to talk about a collectivity, a family which is self-contained and self-sufficient. The two things don't work together.
Yes, it's completely...
Certain sacrifices are needed.
Yes.
And we should be prepared to do them.
Pashi, I couldn't agree with you more. Speaking from my personal experience, I had this conversation in one of the previous episodes with Orville youth who were born and raised. They're all in the ripe age of 17, 18. So it's very interesting to talk to them. And they also agree that Orville, we need to get to a point where we support the local economy, what we produce, not only food, but also products, right? Because sometimes we go to Nilgiri's because you have a bigger assortment. And it, you have more to choose from. But why we need to also, for any healthy economy, especially when we're talking about Oroville, which is a pretty relatively small place right now, we need to promote the local economy, local businesses, local food, local agriculture. But I think the challenge in it is, like you said, Pashi, for example, I came to Oroville at the age of 6 to 7. And every summer I would go back to Korea because I had to visit my father. And then I would be exposed to, again, the Korean culture way of Koreans are very consumerist, living in a very metropolitan city like Seoul. You see people buying things all the time. You see people eating fancy food all the time. So as children, I was confused. And then I would come back to Oroville and there would be, okay, let's eat rice and dal, or let's eat rice and sambal. And then there was this part of me that I'm like, what? But just a couple of weeks ago, I was eating this and this food, riding in this fancy car in an AC environment. So that's where I think the challenges of globalization comes to play. On one hand,
shall I share a story with you?
Yes, of course.
In ashram, there are also people from other countries who are not used to dal and rice.
Yes.
Mother started a restaurant for them. To school for, where meat was served.
Wow.
Who were the waiters? Students from. So there's a separate kitchen for them called the corner house. Mm-hmm. Meat, eggs, fish, it's all served to them. Choice of vegetarian food is in the ashram dining hall where adults who are doing the sadhana. But if you want to have a meat, okay. Tuskul Fu was a really wonderful, it upset many people in the ashram. How mother dare tell these people to eat non-vegetarian? But that was the need of the body. Why she has encouraged the children to see meat, fish, and eggs? Because it's the need of the growing body. So let's not get into this kind of a rigidity that we have. Mm-hmm. Mother never was rigid. What we have to do is, we have to live within our means in the best possible manner. And I tell you, when you look at the international zone, crown of the international zone was to dispose of full of international restaurants and residences. Mm. Where are we with it? We have forgotten that we have a master plan. The more and more we look at it, everything is provided for. The restaurants should offer free meals to the residents. There are countries that I know where restaurants on their own initiative offer free meals to the residents of the area. Why can't our people do it?
Yes, we are.
So there are 101 things that if our attitudes are right, if our approach is correct, and as you rightly said, if we are not insecure anymore. Giving is possible when you're not insecure.
Exactly.
And we have to establish that security without fail. For me, that is the purpose of the positive economy.
Yes. And I agree that to provide the security that's needed to transcend past this fear mode that we're living in, or survival mode, is we need to create a prosperous economy that can generate also income for the community, including ways like the mother said, being industrial. And we didn't take that approach. We became more craftsy and artsy, which is not bad, but that's not necessarily the main generation of income. And then there's also this criticism that I've heard so often that Orville relies too much on tourists, that Machu Mandir became a golden Ferrero Rocher for people to come gawk at, and people want to get a taste of the Orville life. But that's also not a sustainable source of income, as COVID-19 has shown, Pashi, because obviously
of course, as far as I'm concerned, you see, interesting point is, mother at one time thought of an idea of a corporation located in Paris, which will offer bonds to people to support Auroville.
Wow.
A bank to support Auroville. So there's no limit to the ideas that she had.
She seems like the most innovative
she
entrepreneur.
She was absolutely with her feet on the ground.
Wow. Pashi, then the question is, we're talking about, through this conversation today, I've already been reminded a lot of what Orville stands for and what Orville envisions. But what are some concrete implementable steps, the community that we have today, right? Amidst COVID-19, amidst the flaws that Orville has, what are some concrete steps we can take towards a cashless, moneyless society? The first, a couple of suggestions that you have, because you've been engaging with this topic for such a long time, so I would love to hear from you. So you already talked about agricultural, like forestry, and that I thought was also a very interesting idea. So what are some other ideas that you have?
You see, my first basic effort will be to make most of the services budget-oriented. Mm-hmm. Dining room, for instance, the solar kitchen.
Yes.
Can solar kitchen cater for all the three meals? I need the manpower in shifts. Even 5-hour shifts is enough. Three shifts. Okay. So that is the manpower. Then there are the condiments and the materials and so on and so forth, and the expenses and all that. If it is internalized based on our own efforts, including newcomers, I would not exclude them. No paid labor, but provide meals for all those who can come and eat there, and also tiffin carrier service to others. So that relieves a lot of people. Budget it out and give them the budget so they don't have to charge the individuals. Similarly, in PTDC, give them the budget. You have an approximate idea how much it costs per individual.
Yes.
Give them the budget to manage the materials so that when you take the materials, you are conscious that you are not overdoing it.
And underdoing.
You're taking it what you need. So it is a constant effort of being aware that you are living in a different society where you are not cheating. you're not doing excessive things for yourself because the food is available the next day also. So let's not panic. So according to me, these services all should come on a budget.
But why isn't that budget being given, so to speak, to Solar Kitchen?
I'll tell you why.
Yes, Ashi.
Because if you look at their budget allocation, you'll find totally out of place allotments. Maybe one day I'll analyze it with you if the thing is in front of me.
Yes.
We are spending too much on so-called education. Mm. But if you look deeply into it, it is going into the buildings and not into the education of the children.
Mm.
Bureaucracy is taking up the money. Outreach. Out of proportion expenses in the outreach. We are not a charitable organization. We have to give them our knowledge to grow self-sufficiency, not provide them with the jobs. Give them the skills. Our children who are in the teens, as they grow into 18, 19, they don't know what to do. There are no skills being available, offered to them, which they can build up the skills and become useful citizens of our world tomorrow. Student exchange, this exchange, that. These are the modern concepts of a normal society. This society has to generate its own skills. There is a unit functioning with German monetary support.
Yes.
But for the outreach. Our own children do not want to go because they have been given an impression that they're special. You see, our whole interpretation over the period, some of it is out of the circumstances, and some of it is deliberate. 1971 to 78 children who were in the schooling system, they went through a trauma you cannot believe. Psychologically, they suffered, including my three children. So I have a first-hand experience of this. If they have survived, I would say it's a grace.
Wow.
But the fact is that we have forgotten a lot of basic, even the normal values that we bring from our society, into improving on them. Instead of that, we have created a totally irresponsible society, if I may say very strong words, but we've been irresponsible.
Pasha, I'd like to just comment on one thing that you made. I thought it was very interesting that you said that Orville is not supposed to be some sort of democracy where we have equal votes. And it's interesting, it's very, so to speak, a controversial statement. Some people might misconstrue that, say, oh, what do you want? Do you want to create communism? What are you talking about? But for me, I do agree, at least in the extent that if you have a community where decisions are being stalled because one person objecting to that decision is not moving things forward, obviously that's no form of a sustainable society or an effective society. Right? And I personally believe that there are certain issues that are lingering in many different sectors, not only in the building or like the master plan, but there are also other, whether it be agriculture, whether it be about education. There are certain issues that we constantly get stuck on. But how do we actually move towards decentralization, Pashi? That's one thing that I'm curious about. How do you restructure it?
Let's put it as an example that the farm sector, there are 200 people, assuming. Okay. These 200 people are concerned with farming. Either they're actually farming, in charge of the farm, or they are in one or the other activity that is related to farming. If they are given a policy of farming to create healthy food, surplus food, organic food, and so on and so forth, it is up to them to decide between them what are the best ways to make it optimization, with those five people as the core team, consensus comes into play. There are no voting. They discuss, they share, they have different opinion, but by consensus, they come to an agreement. Now, that agreement for the farm group is their agreement because they know what they're doing.
Yes.
Similarly, you take the industrial zone or service activities and all that, they know what they're doing. If those are the people who take the decisions among themselves and do it on the basis of that information, consensus comes into play. A general body, today we are only 2,500 adults, but tomorrow we are 30,000 adults. How are we going to manage? By voting? That society does not, this society cannot accept that voting system for the simple reason because it is growing into consciousness on a totally different basis. And eventually what happens is that a spiritualist, a practicing yogi, knows obviously without being told what is the right thing to do. That is the level of consciousness that Sri Aurobindo and the mother want us to bring, because the real core purpose of Aurobindo is evolutionary, which not many people know about. But when mother talked about it being the cradle of the Superman, it was a realization or visualization of the Sri Aurobindo's vision of the evolutionary process, where you collectively bring the consciousness to a level that a mutation can take place.
The supramental being you're referring to?
No, you go to supramental. Your consciousness grows collectively to a level where mutation can take place. That is where the Superman concept comes into play.
Yes.
So this is an experiment in that direction. I'm sorry, not many people realize, because it's not meant to be realized that way, because from a very ordinary consciousness, even to come to a level that you aspire to become a collectivity is a major step, which we haven't been able to
see. It's a huge step forward, yeah. But okay, I do agree, Pashi, that let's say in the farms, in the example that you provided, in the agriculture, you do have, let's say, the experts or the involved parties, persons taking those major decisions. But what about when it comes to something a bit more tricky, like land? For example, the really major decisions coming to the, let's say, the repurchase of the land that still belong, like that should be purchased, so to speak, to complete the master plan. So it's a bit more tricky. So who do we allocate those tasks to or those decisions to?
So as far as I'm concerned, that is not the decision of the resident assembly. That is the responsibility of the administration to ensure that the land is procured, because that is what they are there for. It is the responsibility which has been neglected and ignored of the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Foundation had to find the money, because they've been given officially the job to see that this grows. And this I've mentioned again and again to the members of governing board and the chairman. You are passing the buck on to the residents very conveniently. You are not taking your own responsibility seriously.
Okay.
And now it is on record, because the working committee also has made a request to the governing board to get either a grant or a loan of 100 crores of rupees to buy the land in the city, because city was the mother's focus. At least the city should be secure. In Greenbelt, we can have a joint lifestyle with certain people, with a certain control and certain discipline. But in the city, we cannot have any third party. And in today's situation, we need 100 crores of rupees to make an offer and take it. We also need the Tamil Nadu government support to legalize our master plan, which is not, it's at the moment a piece of paper. We have been for 20 years discussing it, 2001, this master plan was approved by the HRD Ministry of Government of India. The next step was to ask Tamil Nadu government to give it a statutory recognition. 19 years, I've been at it. But what happens? Internal thoughts, pressures, insecurities. We've not allowed it to happen, in spite of the fact that the working committee, sorry, the resident assembly approved the master plan. Even today, we are discussing the master plan. It's coming to an end, the perspective, by 2025, and we haven't done anything. I would say that it is a must read for everyone who comes to Arugal, first of all, to understand why they are in Arugal. How many people understand what the master plan is all about? So you see, we got sidetracked into being already a society. We are a camp of workers.
I've never heard
with families. But with families.
I've never heard Orville being referred to as a camp of workers. Thank you for reminding us. Pasha, I'd like to refer to a previous example that you gave. So one of the inescapable confrontations that COVID-19 or the outbreak of COVID-19 has brought was the reliance on external workers, right? Especially from the surrounding region. Yes. And that it really highlighted that it is more sustainable and better for our economy to do the work ourselves, because as you said it so eloquently, we are a camp of workers. I have two questions regarding this. Number one, I spoke on the last episode of Aura Talks to Vikram Mani, who's a facilitator, and currently he's facilitating several difficult conversations between Orville units and the local residents, so like local Tamilians who got let go from these units due to like obviously budgeting issues. And he's facilitating these conversations, and what he told me that there's a lot of frustration and perhaps even some level of anger from being let go. So how can we avoid a situation where we don't have a good neighboring relationship with the surrounding villages? Because it could lead to that if we, so to speak, take on from one day to the next, we are working alone, we don't need you anymore. So how do we, that's my first question. And the second question, Pashi, is how do we create a society where people actually do the work? Because yes, it's easy to say in theory, 5 hours a day, 7 times a week, 365 days a year, but do we need to create a reinforcement system or some sort of a sanctioning system wherein people actually have to be held accountable for not making those contributions to the community? Because when humans, when left to their own devices, sometimes they don't actually carry out the work, right? So we don't want to create this bourgeoisie, senior home where people are coming to retire, as you also mentioned earlier. So let's just discuss, if you could share thoughts on the first question.
See, as a first step,
yeah,
we have created a village action group. It's been operative for a long time.
Yes.
According to me, the emphasis of the village action group should be that coordinating between the local government, the central government, and the local panchayats as to what are the facilities available through these governmental agencies for the women or for the children's education and self-reliance and self-support and all that, and facilitate these possibilities so that they don't have to look for jobs outside.
Mm-hmm.
It's a slow process, but it is a process where we are helping our neighbor because we are better equipped. Not by offering employment. At the moment we have offered them employment, and if we immediately discontinue, we're asking for trouble.
Yes, exactly. That was my concern.
But we have created the situation because of our own stupidity. But to get out of the stupidity, you have to give them a positive direction that more and more people find that it is profitable to stay at home and do the work so that I don't have to depend on Arugal to pay for my food and so on and so forth. So it is a starting point. Change your focus on different things. I give you just one example. You see, every evening, women with bicycles with 10, 15 kg of tree branches and wood and so on and so forth, carrying their home for their firewood.
Yes.
The government has a policy of giving free gas cylinders for what they call below the poverty line people. If this was directed in that case, direction, help them to get those gas cylinders, not at our cost, but at the cost of the government, because there's a policy, and this wood will become our asset to convert it to compost.
Well, that's one. That's a great example. So the way I understood what you just shared, Pashi, is that Orville should become, so to speak, give the endowed tools that the locals need to, so to speak, empower themselves, but not necessarily through employment, where we say we'll employ you, but the knowledge and the skills and that they need to, so to speak, empower themselves. Is that right?
Yes, and I'll give you another example. In the industrial units, none of the managers of industrial units want an Orwellian to come and work for them. Why? Because we're not reliable.
But that's bringing me to my second question, Pashi, right? About accountability and reliability.
Gotcha. So why we are there if we are not reliable? Where is your concept of identifying yourself with a willing servitor? If you do not have the discipline of being a willing participant and you want to do your own things, this is not the place for you. Why are you here? In ashram, it's the same kind of activity, only the ashramites are involved. And they do it every day, every week, every year. And yet they have the time for various other activities which they have interest in. We are not disciplined. We are not. You see, the self-discipline is the demand of the time. Willing servitor is an offering of yourself.
Yes.
When we don't understand deeply, and problem is also with the entry service. I will tell you that in the entry service, we are concentrating more on whether you have enough money to survive for a year, whether you have enough money for a return ticket, not whether you have the inspiration to be an Orwellian in the true sense. I'm a mentor. I'm attending their introduction meetings and all that. I'm shocked. Most of the time is spent on these mundane issues, rather than sharing with them what is the core purpose of being an Orwellian. So you see, as I said, instead of remembering what we are here for, we have identified ourselves into already a commune. We're not a commune. We were never meant to be a commune. And this is again an impression of these communities in Europe and America that has come into play here. We keep on talking about our village, eco-village. We're not an eco-village. Mm-hmm. Our purpose is totally different. But when you are conscious at all levels of ecology, of economy and all that, everything is in balance. Today we are out of balance.
Yes. Pashi, we are imbalanced. I mean, there are several parallel efforts that are going on to address this so-called imbalance and our deviance toward from the vision and the fact that we're so far away from the basics, right? We're living a very stripped down basic life. And one concept that I learned about a few years ago was obviously universal basic income, and it's something that I approach you personally about, and that's what our conversation last year was about. It's really, for me, the beauty of universal basic income is that it emphasizes human value. The fact that you're giving means, not because you're a member of this society or because you have this, you're doing this job, or because you're this old, or because you're handicapped. There's so many prerequisites that we could enforce, but no, you are a human. You are a living person who has incredible potential to contribute to the community. And by giving that faith, right? And by giving that trust to you, okay, here, your basics are covered, you create a society, what, that's built on trust, that where people can self-actualize and really contribute in creative ways. Because as you mentioned earlier, Pashi, Orville, especially, I speak on behalf of many Orville youth. I had dinner a few days ago with a fellow Orville child. And he said that it's coming to a point where Orville kids feel suffocated and financially because they're not getting the support from the community. Despite the fact that they're working hard, there's a friend of mine who's working in forest commerce. He's taking care of the entire forest, which is a lot, as you can imagine. It's a full-time job. And for that, he's not even receiving a full-time maintenance. So we can already see that there's some issues, right? That the fact that like a person who's taking care of a large forest in Orville is even struggling to receive full-time maintenance.
Out of 2,500 adults, only approximately 500 are on maintenance.
Exactly. Isn't that an issue,
Pasha? Children are not considered at all. You see, a lot of single parents are coming with children now because they think that this is the right kind of environment, all that. And those parents are struggling themselves.
Yes.
Unfortunately, this is what I mean. If a child is given the food that he's happy with, if the child is given an accommodation that he's happy with, if the child is given the sports activities that he's happy with, why would he be asking for a prosperity or even maintenance? It's there. Because in the family, you don't ask for a maintenance. The parents provide for everything.
Yes.
And if parents are not able to, if the grown-up children are there, they're all pooled up. This is why I keep on saying, Orville is a family. The moment we bring the family concept into our perspective changes. At the moment, we are not treating ourselves as part of the family. We are individualizing it. It is still very much a Europeanized concept. Because a large number of people from Europe and America are participating. They're not able to get over their background and their habits. Because in Europe and America, single families have developed, the joint family system has gone long time ago.
Yes.
India still lives with joint family system. And Orville is a joint family.
Yes, I mean it's a struggle to deprogram yourself from the condition.
Why should a child's parent pay for his schooling in Orville? Why should? Why should a child's parent pay for his food in Orville? Or accommodation? No, the children are the asset of Orville for the future. We don't do that because we have individualized everybody. Take care of yourself as best as you can. Don't ask me.
Yeah, but how does that?
Because I am not taking the responsibility as a parent. If I am in governance, I am acting like a parent. I'm responsible. But I pass the buck and I want the glory. Our level of consciousness has to grow in sincerity, in humility, as an offering to the mother of our work. We are today weighing half maintenance, the most stupid idea that I know. Half maintenance? What the hell are you talking about? Am I an employee? You see, we have done the whole thing topsy-turvy. We developed a language which fools other people. But internally, we have created a mess. And this is why I say a totally new thinking has to come into play. We have to really do a serious analysis of where we have gone wrong and how we can correct ourselves. It may take 6 months, it may take a year, but we have to start that effort.
Yes.
If we don't start that effort, we'll keep on a little bit of whitewash here, a little bit of whitewash there, and that's all. Economy strength, and I give you an example again. Our budget, today, from all sources, is between 55 to 60 crores rupees. That is what comes out in the city budget. 7,000 people that are employed, or even if they are being paid an average of 10,000 rupees a month, you're paying 90 crores of rupees a year. Where is that money coming from? From somewhere. But it's not in the pool.
It's not in the pool.
So, you see, I say Indians are poor. Sorry, India is poor, Indians are not. Auroville is poor, Aurovillians are not. We have to really shift the emphasis from the self to the collective. And for that, financial security is one of the most essential parts, and that a group of people. We have even thought in terms of a creating a possibility of a group that takes care of this aspect in all sorts of planning possibilities. Let's come together and do something substantially serious thinking and not live from day to day in our own misery.
Pasha, you are an inspiration to me because despite growing up in the community, I never engaged in topics like this growing up. I mean, you know, youth oblivion of the youth, call it what you will, blissful ignorance. And it was only earlier last year that I started to ask these questions and started to understand me a bit at a maturer age. Okay, how can I contribute to the community? And what, because I've received a lot, that for me goes without saying that I, even as a little child, I knew I was receiving so much from Auroville. But then as a, like, you know, coming of age, I realized, okay, it's time for me to be a conscious person to understand what I can give back. But even only engaging in this topic for 1.5 years, I felt so frustrated because I realized there was a lack of social consciousness and there was some really systematic flaws that really, whether it be the half maintenance or people not necessarily putting in the hours to contribute to the community, there are many flaws, right? But the fact that you've been a part of the community for almost 5 decades and you're still going so strong, it really is inspirational to a person like me. So thank you, Pashi, for that. The question I'd like to ask you, Pashi, is in its current state, can Auroville manifest the idea of a universal basic income or universal basic maintenance, for example, in the context of Auroville, where, because I feel that you have a quite good knowledge regarding the current budget in Auroville or just the current financial situation or context. So with that in mind, can Auroville say to each citizen, okay, here is a full maintenance for you? Can we afford that?
I will put it another way. I will not use the word maintenance at all.
Okay.
I will not give the money in cash to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say, go to PTDC for whatever you need. It's available. You go to the free store for any clothing that you want. It's available. You go to the dining room. The food is available to you. You go to the housing service. A place is available to you.
So this is what we call universal basic services.
Till then, what I will do is, as I said at the beginning of the talk, that if we can budget these activities, so individually you are not identified with how much money you have spent or how much money you are allowed. But you self-discipline yourself on your needs. Not overstocking or anything, not what you need. This is the beginning, according to me.
Yes. I agree. So, it starts with us. So
the maintenance idea is a crude idea in context of Auroville. It has to be taken out. And instead, you see, prosperity, it's very interesting, but the mother always used the names which were inspiring. Prosperity is where you share in something which is in abundance. Maintenance is where you take something as a right.
Hmm.
You see, the word itself is not inspiring. Prosperity is.
It really isn't. I don't like the word maintenance at all. It sounds like I'm in a repair shop and I have to get my bike maintenance.
Correct.
Yes, I agree with you. Pasha, I haven't been able to get the opportunity in this conversation to talk a lot about the Aura project or this this platform, digital virtual platform, but I wanted to just relate it back to what you just said regarding joint family and really tapping into the best version of collectivism, which is one big unit of a family that takes care of each other. And for me, of course, this is a new generation. My mom told me this yesterday, and I really wanted to share it with you. She said that my generation, so let's say call it the millennials, we have tools that, for example, your generation didn't have, because whether it be technology or globalization, there's so much access to information, and we've been exposed to so much that she fundamentally believes that our generation can effectuate change, create a new world. And I really believe this in large part because I've been working in the tech sphere for a long time, and when you work with technology, you really understand how much can change. So for me, I really wanted to involve myself in this project with the hope of bringing a technological tool, so using an app, to make it easier for Auravillians, newcomers, and also volunteers in the community to interact with each other and to provide each other need, like to cover each other's needs. Because if I need a back massage because I had recently an injury because I was riding a horse, I don't need to go and like pay for those services, especially from another community member. Why would I ask my brother, who is a physiotherapist, "Oh, Hansel, I need a back massage. I'll give you 1,000 rupees for it." It's absurd. But in your own family, you act like that. But why not in the context of Auraville as a joint family too? So I really wanted to create this platform that makes it easier, so you understand what the offerings are, so what people are capable of offering, whether it be physiotherapy or any types of therapy or learning, so education too, and also more mechanical skills. So put that on a digital platform that is really accessible by everyone. Because also one thing I wanted to ask you, Pashi, I realized that Auraville has this element of exclusivity when it comes to the longer you've been in Auraville, the more you have access to certain people, right? Because you've been there longer and you've been a pioneer, you built a Machimandir, so of course you're going to help out these fellow Auravillians. But let's say you're a new member, right? Any society, especially if you want to ever reach the threshold of 50,000, we need to be welcoming, we need to assimilate, we need to integrate people. But then sometimes they don't have the same access. So if you have a tool, technology, the most powerful thing about technology is ubiquitousness. So ubiquity, so it's accessible to all, right? And that's what we're trying to create with this platform, that like anyone can sign up and give more than they're taking. So give an offering, whether it be a tangible good, it could be a pen that you're not using. Yeah. It could be your skill. It could be something that you're so passionate about that you want to teach. So this is what we're doing. And I just wanted to share this with you, Pashi, to let you know that even a young person like me, we hear you, we hear the work, we appreciate all the work that you've done over the decades. And we are the generation of, I believe, creators and innovators. So I think in the next decades, I do believe that Auraville has tremendous potential to like really transcend past its current limitations. So I wanna thank you, yeah.
I will share it with you and say this, that we people are the masons and the carpenters of Auraville. The real Auravillians are you and the future. We misuse the word Auravillian. Basically, our status is a resident volunteer. We are here to provide the basis of the future Auravillian to be in that consciousness and in that lifestyle that the mother has envisioned. We are not the ones. But I'm afraid that even our educational system today has got corrupted. Necessity has created so many diversions of a lower nature. And the I again and again say that people in the management should have acted and behaved like parents to say that we have to provide for ourselves and our children. We haven't. This has to come to a change, and this is why exploring prosperity means really seriously wanting young people to come and participate, share with us, and also understand what is the real purpose of our life. Because more and more we explore together, the more and more understanding will emerge that Arovel is not what we have conceived, but is something totally different, where we can really do something totally unique. And yet, being part of the family, we do our chores and yet do it in a manner that is not taking away the strength from the family, but it is strengthening it. It's making it prosperous, it's making it self-sufficient. We are not married to a particular theme or idea or a project. No, we are doing something which is harmonious and in harmony with everything that we're doing. That harmony we have to bring in.
Yes.
And when there's a harmony, there's peace, there's enjoyment, and there's shanti.
I mean, Pashi, in terms of just your comment on the education system, I do agree there were certain conversations that we didn't have, even in my days in Oroville, which is now past almost, it's almost been 10 years. For example, we didn't really learn about Oroville philosophy. For example, I can't speak for the current educational system or like the lessons that they're having, but when I was growing up, I never knew about, for example, the ratio that you just shared with me, right, about just the amount of people in this 50,000, and also the different zones, why it's called industrial zone and what was envisioned for this zone. And I think that's so fundamental. So I hope that maybe even with the restrictions, we can create maybe like a conference call with invite some younger younger youth. So like we're still in law school or future school to hear these conversations, Pashi, because I really believe that, you know, the advantage of being young, I think you're always young. I mean, you can always remain young in spirit, but I think what happens with age, you tend to get a bit more rigid because you have your views and you get fixed on your views. But when you're a youth, you are open and you're so malleable. So at that very nascent stage to really expose the Oroville youth to these ideas of what Oroville is supposed to be and why it's not the way it, why it's not like that right now, what were the wrong decisions or the wrong turns that we took. I think those are very important. So hopefully this is something I'll look into, Pashi. I hope I can organize a little conference call with maybe some Oroville youth, and you could just share your vision. I'm not sure if they're of mature age to actually take it all in, but rest assured we can give that an attempt.
But I can tell you that when the education started in Oroville, and when it came to the naming the buildings, you're familiar with very beautiful names that the mother chose.
Yes, yes.
Last school, no school. And there was a meaning, no meaning behind every one of those. This is what I would like to share with the young people.
Yes.
Because mother's vision on education was totally different than what it's turned out to be today.
So, Pashi, I really would like to, I mean, first of all, I would just like to conclude this conversation. I've taken a lot of your time today. I think it's great that this session was recorded because, you know, I enjoy our conversations, even the one last year, but it wasn't recorded for everyone to listen to and watch. And this will be in the eternity of the internet for anyone to watch. So I think this is fantastic because I've learned so much from this conversation, Pashi, just about your personal experience, your personal journey in Oroville. But also just I've been reminded of what Oroville strives to be. And I think that's beautiful because the world doesn't get better without a visionary, right? And I think we each of us has the duty to be a visionary for Oroville and carry out, manifest that vision. So thank you for reminding me of that. And about the Zoom call with the youth, we can organize that. So I just like to
I will love it because I think I am not 88. I'm 12-year-old.
Oh, Vaju, that's, I would like to repeat that exact sentence when I'm 88. And then I'll say, once a man named Pasha Kapoor told me.
Aura, the value we create together.